Have you ever just stood there tasting something amazing off the grill and wondered, what really makes a BBQ rub sweet? But not just sweet, like complex and unforgettable.
Yeah, that exact flavor profile that just elevates everything.
Exactly. Well, today we're doing a deep dive into precisely that, unlocking the secrets to crafting an exceptional sweet BBQ rub. We've sifted through a really comprehensive guide full of expert tips, basically to give you a shortcut to nailing that perfect personalized flavor.
Think of it as your roadmap to flavor alchemy. Our mission today is to break down the essentials,
Yes.
understand that balancing act with flavors, and master the actual techniques, mixing, storing, applying it for the biggest impact. We're going beyond just listing
I
ingredients.
want the why.
We want the why behind the what's, exactly.
Okay, flavor alchemy, I like that. Because right at the heart of it, our guide points straight to brown sugar. That's the core, right?
It absolutely is. It brings that profound sweetness, sure, but also this incredible depth. And the thing you really got to understand, is the molasses content.
Ah, the
That's
molasses.
not just for taste, it's like a little flavor engine. When it heats up, it triggers this complex reaction, not just simple caramelization, but the maillard reaction too.
Oh, okay, so it's more than just browning.
Way more. You're creating hundreds of new flavor compounds right there on the surface. And it gets sticky, forms this crisp texture that literally locks in all those sweet and savory notes. That's how you get that coveted caramelized crust.
Wow.
Okay.
Building new flavors, not just browning. That clicks. The guide also mentions experimenting, right? Like light versus dark brown sugar.
Definitely. Light brown sugar gives you a gentler sweetness. Dark brown sugar with more molasses brings a much more intense, almost rum-like flavor. Great for richer meats, maybe beef, maybe lamb.
But finding the balance is key. You don't want it too sweet.
Never. That's the tightrope walk. Now, brown sugar lays the foundation, but a great rub needs more dimension. Our next essential player, paprika.
Paprika. I always think color first with paprika, that vibrant red.
It does bring the color, for sure, but it's got a dual role. It also adds this mild, subtle sweetness. And there are different kinds, which is important.
Right, like
Now,
sweet, smoked, hot.
exactly. Each one shifts the flavor. Sweet paprika is popular, obviously. But smoked paprika, well, that's fascinating because it gives you an authentic smokiness, even if you're just grilling on gas.
Oh, interesting. Like cheating the smoke a bit.
Kind of. It complements the grilling process, adds that extra layer of fire-kissed flavor without needing wood chips necessarily.
Okay, now for something that seems backwards in a sweet rub, salt. We want sweet, so why salt?
It's one of those crucial but understated things. It sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Totally.
But salt in a sweet rub isn't just about making it salty. It's more like a flavor balancer or sculptor, even.
Sculptor, how so?
Well, it cuts through the richness of the meat, and it stops the sweetness of the rub from becoming, overly cloying or heavy. That sticky one-note sweetness.
Ah, okay, so it lets the other flavor shine.
Precisely. It enhances the brown sugar sweetness in a way by providing contrast, and it balances the meat's richness. It prevents the whole thing from just tasting like candy. It's the unsung hero making everything work together.
That's a brilliant explanation. And the guide suggests coarser salt, like kosher or sea salt. Is that just for applying it?
Mostly, yeah. The coarser texture helps it stick better and distribute more evenly. But there's another benefit. Salt actually helps the meat retain moisture.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's doing double duty, balancing the rub's flavor and helping keep the meat juicy.
Nice. A true multitasker. Okay, next up, garlic powder. I always just thought, savory note, basic.
Oh.
But you mentioned a hidden superpower.
It absolutely has one.
Yeah.
Beyond the obvious savory kick, garlic powder brings this subtle but really potent layer of umami.
Umami, that savory depth.
Exactly, that deep, almost meaty richness that just makes things incredibly more ish. It's like a secret flavor amplifier, adding complexity. And actually, it also helps with the texture of the rub itself.
Oh,
It
so.
helps create a more cohesive mixture, something that binds together a bit and sticks well to the meat.
Okay, so flavor and texture, good
Yeah.
to know. But like anything powerful, too much is bad.
Oh, yeah. Balance is critical. Too
Yeah.
much garlic, and it just dominates everything. But used right, it adds fantastic depth and richness. Harmony, again.
Right. And for the spicy counterpoint, black pepper.
Essential. Got to have that sharp kick to round things out. Create that lovely little dance between sweet and spicy.
And the guide says freshly ground is best.
Always, if you can. You get more intense flavor, plus those aromatic oils that pre-ground pepper loses over time. And of course, you can dial the amount up or down, depending on how much heat you like.
I learned that lesson the hard way once. Went way too heavy on the pepper. You need that balance.
We've all been there. And speaking of balance, we touched on black pepper and garlic powder, but maybe we should dig just a little deeper into what they really bring, things people might overlook.
Good idea. So black pepper, beyond just heat, what are those aromatic oils doing when it's freshly ground?
Well, they add this sophisticated layer, sometimes a bit citrusy, sometimes almost floral, depending on the pepper. It's not just heat. It's adding brightness and complexity, a really fresh touch.
Okay. And with garlic powder, we talked umami. What else is important there?
The umami is huge, obviously. Makes it so satisfying. But also, its consistency is key. Compared to fresh garlic, powder gives you a reliable potency that integrates perfectly into a dry mix. No harsh raw notes, just smooth, savory depth.
Makes sense. Okay, moving along, what else helps build that balanced base?
Onion powder? It's another great one for enhancing sweetness and depth. It has its own mild sweetness, actually, plus that familiar savory aromatic quality, similar to garlic.
So it works well with the garlic and pepper?
Definitely. They form this kind of savory trifecta that creates a really harmonious foundation for lots of different meats. Now, if you want to start adding some targeted heat...
Let's talk heat.
Cayenne pepper is your classic fiery kick. Potent stuff.
Sure.
And the great thing is, you can adjust it completely to your own preference. Add just a pinch or really bring the fire.
Good for cutting through richness, too, I bet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially on fatty cuts. Then you have chili powder.
Which is often a blend itself, right?
Often, yeah. It adds warmth, a bit of smokiness, usually, and complements the sweetness really well. Plus, chili powders vary a lot in heat, so you have options there, too.
And mustard powder. That one seems less common.
It's a fantastic, distinctive addition, though. It brings this tangy, slightly sharp, spicy note. It's brilliant with rich meats like pork because that tanginess just slices through the fat and balances the sweetness perfectly. Stops it being one-dimensional.
Okay, so we have our core sweet, savory, heat. But for true harmony, the guide mentions earthy and herbal notes.
Right, you need those grounding elements. Cumin is a perfect example.
Ah, cumin. Love that stuff.
It brings that distinct, earthy, slightly bitter, warm, nutty flavor. You find it a lot in Tex-Mex and Southwest BBQ for a reason.
That savory quality really works against the sweet, doesn't it?
It really does. And using good quality fresh cumin, maybe even toasting the seeds lightly before grinding, whoa, that takes it up another notch.
Good tip. What about herbs? Thyme.
Thyme is great because it's delicate. It adds a subtle herbiness, but it doesn't dominate or fight with the sweetness. It just enhances things gently. Dried is more concentrated than fresh, remember?
Okay. And oregano.
Oregano is a bit more robust. Mm. Adds a stronger, slightly bitter note that also helps balance the sweet profile. Very versatile herb. Again, dried is punchier than fresh.
All right. This is great. We've got all the potential ingredients laid out. Now, the practical side. You've picked your spices. You're ready to mix. Ratios seem critical.
Absolutely crucial. You're aiming for that perfect harmony sweet, savory heat, maybe some earthy notes. A general starting point. Mm. A bit more sweet, maybe equal part savory, and then just a touch of heat.
But that's just a guideline.
Totally. You have to taste and adjust. And seriously, take notes. Write down what you did. That's how you zero in on your signature blend.
Good advice. And mixing. Just stir it up.
Pretty much. But do it thoroughly. Use a whisk or even a fork. You want every pinch to taste the same. Some people even sift the ingredients first.
Oh, to get rid of lumps.
Exactly. Gets rid of lumps, creates a really fine, even texture. That helps it stick to the meat better later on.
Okay, mixed. Now, storage. Doesn't matter.
Oh, absolutely. Airtight container is non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Glass jar with a good seal, quality plastic container, something like that. Air is the enemy. It causes oxidation, kills the flavor.
Right. And label it. Date and ingredients. How long does it last?
For peak flavor, you probably want to use it within, say, 6 months. But stored properly, airtight, and in a cool, dark place, it can last longer. The vibrancy just fades over time.
6 months is a good target. Okay, now the application, getting it on the meat. What's step one?
Prep the meat, pat it totally dry with paper towels, get rid of that surface moisture.
Why is that so important?
Because the rub needs a dry surface to actually stick to. If the meat's wet, the rub just kind of slides around or clumps up. Dry surface equals better adhesion.
Gotcha. Then just sprinkle it on.
Apply it evenly.
Yeah.
Be generous. You want good coverage, but don't go crazy and cake it on thick. The goal is a flavorful crust, not a spice shell that hides the meat taste.
Makes sense. Now, the guide really flags this resting time as a game changer. What's actually happening there? Why is letting it sit so important?
It really is a game changer. Okay,
yes.
So what happens is the salt in the rub starts drawing out a tiny bit of moisture from the meat surface.
Okay.
That moisture then dissolves the salt and the sugar, creating this super concentrated thin layer of flavorful brine right on the meat.
Ah, like a mini marinade.
Exactly. And that liquid brine allows all the other spices, the garlic, the paprika, the pepper, to actually penetrate deeper into the meat fibers instead of just sitting on top. It's actively infusing flavor.
Wow. So how long should you let it rest?
Ideally, at least 30 minutes to an hour at room temp before cooking. Or even better, wrap it up and let it rest in the fridge overnight. That allows for maximum flavor melding and infusion. Makes a huge difference.
Overnight sounds intense, but I can see why. So it's not just sitting there, it's working.
It's actively working its magic. Even 30 minutes helps if you're short on time. Don't skip the rest. And then how you cook it matters too, right?
Right, different cooking methods.
They bring out different things in the rub. Slow smoking over hours, that really deepens the flavors, lets everything mellow and meld. Grilling hot and fast, that gives you quicker caramelization, emphasizes the sweetness and crust.
And you need the right temperature for the cut.
Always. Low and slow for tough cuts like brisket or pork shoulder, so they get tender, higher heat for things like chicken or thinner pork chops. Cooking it right lets the rub shine.
And finally, different meats need different rubs or different amounts.
Yeah, you want to tailor it. Pork ribs, for example, can handle and often benefit from a sweeter rub. Beef brisket might want something bolder, maybe spicier, to stand up to its rich flavor.
So think about the meat's natural taste.
Exactly. Choose a rub that harmonizes, not fights with it.
Oh.
And how you apply it can vary, too. Maybe you go heavy on ribs, getting into all the nooks and crannies.
Mm-hmm.
But on delicate chicken breast, maybe a lighter hand so you don't overpower it. Respect the ingredient.
Love it. Okay, let's do some quick hits, key takeaways from this deep dive. First off, what really defines a sweet BBQ rub?
It's that careful blend, right?
Mm.
Emphasizing sweetness, usually brown sugar balanced with paprika, salt, and other spices.
Mm-hmm.
But balance and depth are key, not just sugar.
And they're super versatile.
Totally. Pork ribs, chicken brisket are classics. But seriously, try them on grilled vegetables like zucchini or bell peppers. Amazing. Don't limit yourself.
Customizing heat. Easy peasy.
Super easy. Just tweak the cayenne, chili powder, maybe that mustard powder, until it's perfect for you.
Fresh herbs, can you use them?
You can, sure. Just remember, they have a much stronger, different flavor than dried, so adjust your amounts. And they won't last nearly as long in the stored rub.
Makes sense. Making a big batch, good idea.
Smart move if you grill often. Just store it right, keep it airtight.
And shelf life for homemade, optimally?
Around 6 months is a good rule of thumb for the best, most vibrant flavor. Keep it sealed tight.
Okay, so thinking back, we hit on some really cool stuff. The Maillard reaction from molasses, not just caramelization. That surprising umami punch from garlic powder.
Yeah, and salt, not just being salty, but actually sculpting the flavor.
Right, and the resting time, how it creates that brine to infuse flavor deep into the meat, that was a big one for me.
Understanding those little nuances, that's what takes your BBQ from pretty good to, like, truly unforgettable.
Absolutely. Hopefully this deep dive has given you the knowledge, the practical insights, to go from just following recipes to really crafting your own signature rubs, moving from curious to confident pitmaster.
That's the goal. Ready to make something delicious that'll wow everyone at the next cookout.
So here's something to chew on. Now that you understand the symphony, the components of a great sweet BBQ rub, what's that one spice or herb, maybe one you previously overlooked, that you're going to explore next? What unexpected flavor combination might that unlock for you?